We have a lot to talk about. We're probably going to keep the, well, I mean, the last time we tried to do the QS cast, it was supposed to be like 25, 30 minutes, and Tarkan wanted to go long, so we ended up like with an hour cast. But yeah, it's been crazy. I'll discuss it on the cast just briefly, but you know, we all kind of just took a little bit of break. This is kind of like, you know, I've been here and there, you know, trying to pop in as much as I can, but it was just kind of nice. It was nice to be able to like disconnect. And you know, now that we're back, we do have a couple things that Tarkan and I are discussing. Some might fall through, some might not, but it's going to be a good year for the cast. So we tried to do a lot with the QS cast last year. We might have time to do an extra cast. No, I can't hear you, Tark. We're going to be working with Guillaume. Guillaume's going to start us a brand new, fresh infographics. That was a big thing that we started last year. So we had a lot of things that Tarkan and I wanted to do with the cast, and kind of streamline it as best we could and really have it be like good content for, you know, insiders. So we're kicking around a few more ideas that hopefully we'll go through in terms of to make it even better for you guys. You know, stay tuned for that, because, you know, I announced when I, you know, when I said I was coming, when I came back and kind of in the full swing of things, that may have some announcements soon, and we're still waiting to hear on those, some of which have to do with the website in general, others which have more to do with the cast. But in general, you know, we're going to try to improve the cast even more. And I'm glad that we kind of have a full clean slate. Starting with Guillaume, we're going to be very transparent. That was kind of our really big effort of being transparent, and a way to, you know, differentiate us from other casts. And those infographics are awesome. So in hindsight, it was a really great thing to do. And, you know, now that we're starting with a fresh year, I think the numbers will be even, you know, more clear, and, you know, kind of reflect as a whole how, you know, we operate on the cast and kind of track even for ourselves. And for everyone else, kind of see how we did. Hey, what's up, Tark?
Test. There we go.
Hey, what's up, dude?
All right. What's up, everybody? Sorry about that. I've heard everything that you've been saying, and so continue, Chad. Sorry, I just want to make sure I was in here.
Yeah, I just want to keep it brief. So Tark and I are back. Tark is in the U.S. for right now, so we have at least some sort of semblance of a schedule. But we're going to try to be better at that. You know, for everyone's sake, and just Tarks and I, sometimes our schedules get a little hectic, but normally we've been really good. I mean, going back, I've even looked for myself. I mean, we've been really good about staying consistent and recording. Sometimes we will miss a week, but we will then do, you know, an insider only cast to kind of double up on those, you know, for the week loss. So it's just those kind of improvements that we're just going to keep on doing.
Awesome things coming, and yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Okay.
What should we start with? I'm going to start with something.
Yeah. Kind of a crazy time. A lot of things have happened. So let's kind of compartmentalize.
Right, so I'm going to start on something that's going to take, no more than maybe a few minutes. I'm not even going to take a few minutes. I did tell everyone Unstable was going to be a success. And it was. I am really, 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 I don't know if frustrated is the word, but I'm disappointed, but it is what it is that we're getting a second wave, which it has, to my understanding, everything I know has been confirmed for February, which is really sad because I assure you we would have hit $150 boxes probably within the next 12 months had there not been a second wave. So, you know, that was just an amazing success, and it was really good for Wizards. It was really good for the game. I get it. They want more money, but it's just really unfortunate they're going back to reprint it. I think they should just leave it alone. That being said, for everybody that was like, oh my gosh, the boxes are going up, let's get them now, and now there's a second wave, we don't know how many boxes are actually coming in that second wave. So it is possible that this run is not as massive as others have been in the past. I would not bet on that, unfortunately, but it is possible that, you know, this is a smaller wave and it's not going to just tank all the prices, but I don't know if I would be betting on that. So I just wanted to comment on Unstable.
Yeah. I think I think Unstable was really good. I didn't play it, but from what I've heard, I mean, I just didn't get a chance to play it. I really wish I did play at least a couple drafts, because I heard it was a really big success on that front. I don't have anything wrong with Unstable. I think the only thing that I really would have liked is that ultimately a couple of commander cards could have been used from that set. I think it almost seemed like a couple still honestly can. Like they were designed. The Unstable as a whole was designed very well. I mean, from the feedback that I got and from what I was hearing, the set was pretty much designed like better than most sets. I mean, of recent history in terms of how fun it was, how it drafted. I drafted Amonkhet. I thought that was great. I drafted Hour of Devastation. I thought that was great. That was kind of like the last kind of set I thought was really good. They said Unstable was like pretty much definitely eclipsed like everything in recent history, probably since like the two set block started. I probably agree with that. And I really liked Amonkhet a lot, but I probably agree with that. I think though Unstable, maybe, I don't know a big percentage, so this is just a theory craft right here. I do think that some of the success was buoyed a little bit by the, now you could say this is collusion or whatever. I honestly don't know, and I really don't care, but I do think a portion of its success has to do with the whole announcement of, hey, we're kind of legalizing all the silver bordered cards during the holiday time. So I don't know if that was like, maybe we can attribute even 10% to that.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't. Because, I don't know how I don't would, know how much, anyone, how much that impacted it.
Okay, but why would anyone? I mean, short of the lands and even the foil lands, why would anyone be buying those cards?
Because it's fun and it's fresh and it's different, man. I mean, you know, my original theory was that it's the perfect time. Like, it's just I don't say perfect lightning in a bottle, but like, it's right now is the just the right time. Like, the sort of like hyper casual fun. I mean, I'm you know, like the comparisons to like, you know, exploding kittens or whatever those games, all these other card games. I really, if you think the last time we had an unset was what, over a decade ago? I mean, that was not the right time. This was the right time.
Painfully aware of that.
Yeah, and it's different. It's fresh. It's fun. It's, you know, social. It's social. I don't know. That's, to me, that played more of an impact, those factors.
You're right. There is a very large percentage of players in Magic today that appreciate those kind of sets.
Yeah.
So maybe this, I guess just because of me and I was at on the Unhinged pre-release, and maybe I'm a bit more jaded. Because, you know, you can't really use them.
Yeah.
But folks use these cards. So I can admit when I'm wrong in saying, you know, well, why would anyone want these cards? Because they do. And it's fun. And there is a percentage of players that will use these cards regardless if their, you know, committee permits them or not. And they have a good time buying these boxes and drafting the set. So I do think you're right. There is a large percentage of people, players that enjoy these sets much, much larger than when I was playing Unhinged.
And honestly, if you want to just talk about the cards, I think we underestimated the popularity of the lands. I think people were like, yeah, now I can get some new school full arts. I mean, everybody wanted those lands. And then I actually think when words started to spread that apparently the print run was lower, right? When that started to become the narrative,
people
were like, oh my gosh, I want to get the lands. I want to get the lands. They're going to be worth so much. The foils, oh my. And then what happened, right? There was hype around the foil lands, full arts being like masterpiece level rarity, apparently, from what I understand. So
something
I think
like
all of that sort of just drove up people, you know, to buying it. But all that said, you know, it's coming back in February, unfortunately. And, you know, if it's just a massive wave, then it's just $85, $90 boxes, you know, it's just going to be the same.
Yeah, it can't sustain those prices.
Yeah.
But and regardless, I mean, even with just the one wave, I mean, I've seen those foil unstable cards at release be one number and literally 2 weeks later be a fraction of that number. So there's still a lot out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even foil lands. I mean, there's,
it's true, but I mean, places are selling out of the sealed product. It's not as easy to get.
Yeah.
So,
but that is the one strike against Unstable in terms of just the lands. Now, this is just the lands I'm talking about. Unhinged, back in Unhinged, this again, I think it was like 12 years ago now, you didn't have a lot of competition for full art lands. Now it's they're almost in like every single set.
Yeah.
So it's getting a little, the nuance and the lure of full art lands is kind of fading a little bit. But needless to say, I mean, they still look great. There's obviously some desire there to acquire them. So people are paying it. And foils normally retain their price like for a very long time. They will barely dip, especially like the islands, the forests and the swamps and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah. All right. So that was unstable.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. In a nutshell. Yeah. But Kip mentioned $1,000 Juzoms. Yep. Juzom hit $1,000. I'm not going to go into that because I don't want to get anybody to give me flack for like tooting my own horn, but, it's just, listen, here's the thing. The way I look at Juzom is, and if the thing is a lot of people may not, because people weren't playing necessarily around that time, but Juzom, I get it, Library of Alexandria was technically the ninth or the 10th power or whatever, but Juzom was in the same class of like that level of like iconic card. Like Juzom, that card was considered so iconic back in the day. And to me, it's like, if the Power Nine and all the cards that were in that class of the most iconic cards in Magic, it's just they're just going to all be around that same price level. So I was like, it's just inevitable that Juzom's going to hit $1,000. It's going to happen. Like, you know, Library of Alexandria obviously is probably also, Library of Alexandria is already well over a grand, but to my knowledge at least. But you know, the cards in that class are just going to be at $1,000. It's going to be what it is, and they're going to keep going up. Like, I don't think Juzom's going to be $2,000 this year, but all these cards are just going to continue to go up. So yeah, Juzom hit 1,000. Sweet. I mean, it is what it is.
Yep.
I don't know. Should we go into reserve list on that topic, Jazz, or did you want to wait on that to talk about other stuff?
We can wait. We did have a question, and I think we should cover it too, because it's still a fairly big topic. I just want to see who asked it again. I think it was Kip, and he wanted us to talk about. Oh no, Hurlman 81. Sorry. He wanted to ask us about Pauper.
And I really didn't even really think on this all the way through, but with as many reprints as we have now, I don't know how likely is we're going to see the price, you know, price increases that are significant enough to really be meaningful. You know what I mean? Like, I think it might be new tech, like you said, and then maybe sideboard pieces. I think that single printings are still, I mean, any single printings in the format that are staples or sideboard staples or even one to two ofs, I think could be good targets, but I'm just a little nervous because there's no activity in Modern, and I mean that Pro Tour is what, a month away, or is it February? Is it later February?
I think it's late next. No, it's like 5 weeks after
release.
So I think it's like next month, early next month.
All right. And well, releases in two.
Oh yeah, one, two. So like the end of next month.
Right. Okay. So all right. So maybe. Maybe we'll give it to. I will give it another couple of weeks, but I don't know. I just like I'm not even seeing any kind of. I mean, there's like Leyline of the Void, but there's not a ton of activity on stuff that there's Cryptic, but that's just an iconic Masters. But you know what I mean. Like that, I'm surprised that there's not more movement. Even
I'm pretty surprised too. February 2nd through 4th is the Pro Tour. Oh wow. So that's like literally around the corner. I thought it was later than that.
BioSpark 88 says this gives me the feeling the old Modern season spikes were largely greed driven, and in the age of reprints, people don't buy blind anymore.
I'm inclined to agree with that.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that. I think there's so much fear now across, you know, not only investors but players that, you know, there's stuff's just gonna get hit. I also think that, and not just fear, but I think that, you know, we now have reprints, so players are going to go buy reprints, and there's plenty of reprints, so the price movement's just not going to be what it used to be, because people are just going to buy their iconic Masters print, or, you know, they're going to buy the cheapest copy available, and that's going to be that.
Yeah. Stuff that hasn't been reprinted is always still really good, but I think, you know, Modern is going to turn into, like, Standard pretty soon, or very similar to Standard, where... you know, there is the demand that will keep the prices driven, because there's always going to be demand. Like Modern doesn't really go out of style like Standard does. You know, short of that, I mean, you have the hype periods of like the Pro Tour, like a Pro Tour coming up, where if you see like new technology or new cards that haven't been, especially haven't been reprinted, could certainly gain a lot. I mean, we could see like $80, you know, $65, pretty absurd prices for cards that haven't been reprinted yet. And we can just like even cards like Living End that has pretty much been so elastic. I mean, it's been like a rubber band. Just keep surging in price every time there's new hype for that kind of deck.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, and I think the timing modern mass A25 comes after the Pro Tour.
Right.
So even and if they dodge reprints in A25, then I think all bets are off too.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like if you don't see a Living End in
A25, it's a $25-$30 card.
Yeah, I absolutely think that because I think what's going to happen now, what we're seeing is sort of similar to what you're describing, Chaz, is that because the targets are becoming fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer, it means there's going to be more people concentrating on this tiny pool of non-reprinted cards, especially particularly the older ones, and it's just going to cause people just to drive the price up.
Sorry, back to a $30 card. I think it will, you know, it's already $25, $30. I think it'll depress again. And then if we see it at the Pro Tour, it just takes off again.
Yeah, I think $50 Living End is absolutely, I think it's like Scape Shift.
Yeah, it's like Scape Shift.
It's a core component of, it's its own deck. It's going to end up $50, yeah.
$50, and then where's Through the Breach right now?
Through the Breach is still about $35, $40.
Yeah, $35, $40. That could be like, you know, in the 50s, pushing 60.
Yeah.
Something's got to give. I mean, at some point, these cards got to get reprinted, and if not, that's where you park your money.
Yep. And then, listen, I mean, again, as the pool shrinks, more and more people are going to be gunning for these cards, and they're going to go really, really high. I mean, until we reach an inevitable point where Wizards does reprint basically everything, every staple. I mean, it's not in the... You know, it's not in the far too distant future where we end up with everything reprinted that can be reprinted staple wise.
Yeah.
So I don't know how soon that's going to happen. I'm not going to say it's going to be tomorrow, but yeah.
I think if you want still a pretty good target in terms of stuff that hasn't been reprinted yet, Collective Brutality is on my list. It's still one of the top cards played in the format. One printing in Shadows over Innistrad. I think everyone just kind of flew under the radar now that it's not standard anymore.
It's Eldritch Moon.
Eldritch Moon, my bad. You know, you could probably be picking them up in like the $8 to $10 range, and that's fine.
I think Collected Company is another one that...
Collected Company, too. It's time to pick up the new, like... this.
Yeah.
I call this the newer staples. It's like the mini reserved list.
Yeah.
The stuff that was like pretty much still new, but hasn't been reprinted and still probably a little while for it to be reprinted. Engineered Explosives is another one too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like Engineered Explosives. It's out of style right now. And it's still, you know, fairly expensive, but that could be another interesting one to hold on to. I wish I could say the same for Abrupt Decay, but that's just not ever going to happen.
Nope, that's done.
We know fully well what happens when you invest in Abrupt Decay.
Yep, that's done.
Yeah.
Yep,
the Eldrazi as well. Thought Not Seer, you got... that's pretty much it.
Chaz, give me 1 second. Hang, stand by. Yeah. I'll be right back.
Yeah, Thought Not Seer, you got... pretty much just Thought Not Seer. Reality Smasher, yep. I like Thought Not Seer much better. I like Thought Not Seer a lot. That's like always this. Like, no matter what, Thought Not Seer's like in the. I mean, Thalia hasn't even been reprinted, and that's a pretty. Oh Jesus! Never mind. When did that card become $20? $15? My goodness! I missed a lot in 2 weeks. Apparently.
Okay.
Thalia, yeah, but yeah, I missed a lot in a 2 week span, but I do think there's going to be some movement in the Pro Tour. I think it'll have to be right around the Pro Tour that we'll start seeing some cards increase. I do think one to kind of keep a look at is Collective Brutality. It's still a really widespread staple in the format. Hasn't been reprinted. It's a newer card. It's out of standard. There's a lot of them out there, but not enough that I think it'll hold it back from being a $25 card.
How are the foils on that? Were they like $12?
Foil collect
brutality.
Brutality? No. They're like $30 at least. Let me see. Let me just get a quick number. Foil collective company briefly hit 60. Let me see brutality. Foils are 30. That could be something.
Interesting.
Yeah. If you can get them at like the $25 range, if you can find a good deals on these, I'd be holding on to these.
I really like Collected Company. I think Collected Company is a $25 card.
I like Collected Brutality.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got Collected Company on one side and then Collected Brutality on the other. Although I have to say, I also like Collected Brutality. I think it's a great choice. So.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that Modern is definitely going to ramp up, but the meat and potatoes of the new cast of 2018 is Rivals of Ixalan. It's not coupled with a Pro Tour. So that definitely could work against some of the more medium timeline of these cards.
What's going to happen is we're going to have Dominaria and then a standard Pro Tour for Dominaria, which is going to have all of this in it, right?
Right.
And so we're still going to have Kaladesh is not going to rotate, right?
No. It'll be the last Pro Tour with Kaladesh and I think Amonkhet leaves too.
Yeah, I mean, so this is okay. So this puts this set in a super awkward position because if you buy in on cards, so you might as well not pre-buy anything, period, unless you think you can get it on just pure hype sales. But like, you might as well just wait till everything tanks completely. I miss what's going on here.
No, I definitely already cashed in on some of that.
Oh yeah, so you know, like, you might as well just wait till everything tanks and then just wait till Dominaria. So what you're going to want to do is you're literally going to go pure speculation and go, okay, I think that these cards are going to be decent in a Dominaria standard. And then you start seeing this Dominaria spoils and then, you know, then you grab whatever you think from Rivals. But I mean, Rivals is in a really awkward position. I mean, it's just like they're my perspective on this whole set based on what we've seen so far is I hate to say it, but I don't see anything. Nothing's been released that makes me go, oh my gosh, this is going to finally shake up standard. I think that unfortunately we're probably going to be still stuck in an energy meta where energy is still like the deck to beat. And maybe there are decks that can beat it, but you know, nothing that has been released, and you can please, like, Chaz, if you disagree, let me know, but I don't think I've seen anything that's been like, wow, we're like in for a whole new meta.
It's really tough to say right now. We'll have the full spoiler literally tomorrow.
Yeah.
We've seen
a lot, if not most of it, right?
We've seen most of it. Let me see where we're at right now.
I mean, have we seen most of the mythics?
110 out of 196. So I think we have one more mythic and a couple more rares. I mean, at this point, I just don't know. I don't think so. I mean, there's a couple one of offbeat really good cards. Don't get me wrong. But I've had some success in pre-orders, but I gotta say this is one of the lowest pre-orders. I'm keeping it very low just for my own sake, but I just don't think there was a lot to even like be excited about. There was a couple that we discussed in the QS Insider Discord, and they turned out very well. But short of a couple cards, I was not impressed.
Yeah, I mean, the cards, like, okay, the ones that are popping out to me, I really like the red pseudo Snapcaster.
Yep.
I really like that card. I really like the Phoenix. I actually think the Phoenix could fit somewhere. I mean, we were talking in the QS Discord about it fitting actually in Teemer, in Energy. And I like Azor. I actually really like Azor. I at first I was really soft on it, and then, you know, I've actually made my arguments for Azor in the chat or in the Discord as well. But I think that maybe not short term, may not happen, you know, with this release, but I think long term there's a lot going on with Azor, and I would not be surprised if Azor was kind of like an Ojutai. I'm not going to say it is Ojutai and it's going to reach that level, but I'm saying it's sort of this flies under the radar mythic that suddenly ends up being this, you know, killer finisher. I wouldn't be surprised. So
Yeah. It's going to be really hard to pinpoint like what is even the good card in the set. I do think there's some that certainly could get there, but I'm not even really sure. I know that there was a couple that we talked about, like the pseudo red Snapcaster. That was definitely intriguing. You know, we're kind of getting a couple while we're casting here, actually, that I'm actually seeing for the first time. But we discussed heavily. I mean, it all depends on where you got in on. I'm still kind of deploying mostly what I do every presale. But I did actually pull the trigger on 40 Jade Light Rangers because they were 99 cents. And that card just did not seem like a 99 cent card to me. So there was that. I sold one set offhand for Alenda at $29.95. I sold two sets of Blood Sun. Sorry. Blood Sun at $35 a piece. So there's definitely hype. But you are right. It's just because it's during the pre-order. So a lot of these, if not all of these prices, are going to decrease because there's just no Pro Tour to buoy the prices. But I think there will be a strong rebound, especially on this set, once we get around to Dominaria and that Pro Tour. There's been opportunity because it happened, and others have already been seeing that opportunity and selling. Then in that medium term, that midterm, prices will probably tank across the board. And then once we get to Dominaria, Pro Tour, if anything from Rivals is a linchpin or a key part of a deck, you can expect it's going to skyrocket.
So let me just say this real quick. Please do not buy Blood Sun right now. Don't buy that card right now. Please don't buy it. Just wait till it tanks to like $3, $4, maybe $4. Like, there's going to be plenty of it open. There's going to be plenty of the set available. Like, don't buy it for $10, $15, whatever.
Oh, no. Folks around here are selling it for that much. The first pre-orders were like $5.
Yeah.
$4.99, I think.
That's fine. Yeah. But it's going to drop, so get rid of it.
Yeah, they're selling, so they're doing the right thing. Another card that we were talking about in terms of Rivals was – which one was it? We weren't talking about a card, but yeah, we were just talking in general that, you know, a lot of these are, you know, just sell now. I mean, and there could be a card that holds its price, but don't bet on any one mythic or any one rare being $25 just because there has to be a $25 card. I mean, look at Ixalan. I mean, there's not, I don't even think a single card is maybe a couple of maintained double digits. Yeah. So just get rid of this stuff.
Yeah, don't hold on to this stuff. And it's in a very
There's going to be more opportunities to buy back in. So my main two choice, my one number one main choice was Jade Light Ranger. And I do kind of want to see where the red Snapcaster. I think it's Dire Fleet Daredevil. This is what the translation is spitting out at us. I'll try my hand and try maybe sell a couple sets, and then hopefully I can get them cheaper. But I do think that could be a card that holds its price. It's kind of funny because both of the cards are rare. I don't even see a really good mythic yet, to be honest with you. I mean, Kumena is a strong card. It's not by no means bad, but I just don't see a $25 price tag on any one of these mythics. I really just don't.
I mean,
unless I'm like severely missing something, and that could definitely be happening. But I like this new mythic that I'm seeing. I haven't seen it. I think this is new today, literally while we were casting. Twilight Prophet. It's a 4/2. It's 2/2 black, flying ascend 2/4. At the beginning of your upkeep, you have the city's blessing. Reveal the top card you have in your hand. Each opponent loses X life, and you gain X life. Never mind. That card's not that. Hopefully you were to draw. If they lost life and you gain life and you drew the card, then we're talking.
Yeah.
That's not that good.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the Twilight Prophet. Hand. You do. You put it in your hand.
Oh, yeah. I like this card.
You draw it. Well, the problem with this card, right. So the problem with this card, I've had this discussion with several people. Yeah, but you have to have, first of all, it has to survive long enough to get a send. My point with this card is that. But I think what you do with something like this is it's in some kind of control build where you play it to trigger ascend, because you have ascend for the entire game. Like, if you suddenly drop a permanent or a creature or something, you still have Ascend. So I think you play it so that hopefully it lasts a full turn so you can take advantage of it. But I don't know. I mean, if you just drop it down and you try and build up to Ascend, there's gives them plenty of opportunity to destroy it. And I mean, I don't know how easy Ascend. I mean, yes, Ascend, it theoretically could be easy to get, but it's very situational to try and, like, force yourself into 10 permanents that stick around. So I don't know. I'm pretty bearish on this card.
Yeah, maybe it really depends on where it starts. Because if it's pretty cheap, then I think that could be a decent enough mythic. But I'm not really too gung ho about it. I like it, but doesn't mean I'm like totally in on buying a bunch of them. I do like. I mean, I think I'm just. It's really pretty much just down to Jade White Ranger and the Daredevil.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ranger is the tireless tracker of the set and will probably perform as such.
I always love those 3-mana utility green
value
cards.
Creatures. Yeah,
literally, they have such a good track record. It's almost like it doesn't even know, like it. It's like every single time they have such a good track record.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single time, if you see like a 3-mana rare, especially rare, like value creature, they normally are always in like the $4 to $6 range.
Yeah.
Sometimes more in terms of tracker, because tracker was just insane. But I don't really like the Phoenix, man.
You don't like the Phoenix?
I think it's bad. It just seems like they always stink. Like, short of Chandra's Phoenix, which had haste, like, they're all bad. I don't think there's been a single good Phoenix except for Chandra's Phoenix. It's only because of that haste.
I think this one has potential, but I'm not suggesting you buy it. I think out of all of them that it's interesting because, I mean, you know, if they got to deal with the token, if it sticks around, you know, then your Phoenix is back and it's got haste. I mean, it's not the worst.
I guess.
As you know, the problem, all of these cards on, especially these mythics, they just look like they were just built for EDH. I mean, they're all like, eight, 9 mana. It's like, none of this was made for standard. You know what I mean?
It really
like
does. This, I mean,
like,
yeah.
Zakama is so cool, but I mean, it just screams like win more in EDH. Like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to play that standard.
I kind of have the feeling we're talking about the Phoenix because it's like 4 mana, which is like half of the like literally every other mythic.
Yeah. I will say these new lords, I would pay attention to the foils. They might start off high and they may not drop, and that's the thing. But these foils, even in standard, I mean, these foils could come out the gate being really good pickups. I mean, Mistbinder, like the lieutenant, the legion, the vampire one, like I would pay attention because lords always, especially the two mana ones, they all have a good track record of being great pickups. So I mean, honestly, even the non-foils, like you can probably get them for chump change once the set's at peak supply. I would be scooping them up and just dashing them. I mean, those things will probably end up being quarter buy lists easily down the road.
Yeah, that's probably good advice right there.
Yeah. There's a lot of hype. There's a ton of hype around the Immortal Sun, which it's so funny when like one of the most expensive cards coming out from the set is the like EDH king of the whole set. I mean, if that doesn't tell you something, then I don't know. You know what I mean?
I don't know either. Kamena is pretty I mean, a lot of the insiders have been selling Kamena briskly at like $12. Like, it's steadily selling at $12. I'd be taking that all day.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'd be taking that all day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Short of that, I don't really know what much else to tell you guys on on Rivals. I mean, there's definitely some good stuff to be holding, but don't hold it too long because I can't see a lot of these cards maintaining their price, especially without a Pro Tour.
I think the overall strategy with this is to, whereas you would normally allocate a lot of your, you know, the majority of your resources and spec money to, you know, these releases because of the Pro Tour, I would wait. I would save money for modern staples and go in on modern specs based around whatever we see over the next few weeks with the upcoming Pro Tour of Modern, and just let this stuff tank around peak supply and then start scooping it up, you know, up around like after the Pro Tour or before the Pro Tour when nobody cares about Rivals. Get this stuff when it's like dirt cheap, you know, about, you know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever after release.
Yep. I think that's about it. Do we have any final kind of questions here to kind of wrap things up. I mean, we're going to cover that. We're going to cast again next week. I think we want to have one of our writers on to help kind of guest and kind of do more of a review here. But we're really just kind of looking forward to the pro tournament. I mean, that's pretty much on our radar.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. So, you know, this is the first cast of 2018, and, you know, I think it'd be fun to, or at least I don't mind doing this, like making some thoughts, like putting some thoughts into what I think is going to happen over this course of 2018, this year.
Sure.
For Magic Show. So,
we'll revisit this next year.
So, I will say that I strongly recommend, and this is not like secret code because I'm going to be buying these cards, whatever. But I would say the cheap reserve list cards this year are many of them, if not all of them, are not going to be cheap anymore. And when I say cheap, I mean like if they're like $2, $3, $4, I think that those are all going to see gains. I think that there's going to be a shift into picking up the old or the really low costed reserve list cards. So I would be monitoring those, and I would be, you know, picking up the really low costed ones here and there as you can, especially if they have low supply. If it's a cheap reserve list card and has low supply, I would just get it and stash it away. I think that Dominaria in particular needs to be very, very good. Because I don't know, Chaz, I feel like 2017 was not the best year for Magic, personally. Like the game.
I disagree there.
You disagree? Okay.
It was probably bad for people, like for folks, you know, that have concern, like that primarily their concern is the financial aspect. Definitely it was a bad year. But in terms of the growth of the game, I don't think it was good, but I don't think we're in like a dire, you know, I don't think, you know, we've lost that, you know, kind of that many players to kind of really be.
Well, no, so I'm saying that I don't think the player base
shrank. Maybe it just kind of stayed the same or slightly grew, if anything.
So I'm not actually speaking necessarily to the player base. I think the game itself, I think Magic just as a game, like I would say as a product and as a game, I would say as a product, there was too many releases, right? And I think as a game, I mean, I think 2017 was horrible for Standard. That's their breadwinning format.
Probably one of the worst years I could even remember for Standard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm really hoping that they get it right with this year and we see, you know, Standard becomes interesting again. And I hope that these upcoming releases, in particular, I think Dominaria, because I think Dominaria, they're swinging for like this whole 25th anniversary play, you know, is them swinging for the old players, is trying to ring in on that nostalgia. And in my opinion, they have a track record for hyping things up through the roof and then not delivering on a lot of stuff. So I'm just hoping that, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic about Dominaria, and I'm really cautious about M25 or A25. I don't know what to expect with that. You know what I mean?
And this is why I was partially disagreeing. Yes, Standard was probably, if not the worst year for Standard I could even remember. And that dictates a lot about the perception of the game, because Standard is pretty much their main format that they push on people. Modern was amazing, but you wouldn't really even know it. Commander's still thriving. Everything about the game, pretty much except like, you know, Legacy or whatever, that it's still pretty much thriving, but, you know, it's not in the spotlight anymore, so you wouldn't even know. Modern, Standard was just horrible, so it just kind of perpetuates this bad vibe about Magic, because Magic is, you know, Standard is so bad. I think, you know, it's, you know, short of like reserve lists and stuff like that, and short of, you know, having the pacing of these releases, I think if they start reducing the amount of stuff that they release and reducing the amount of this stuff, I think it's going to start hurting us really badly. That's pretty much the only thing, like, keeping the hype train going, because Magic to me is turning into, it's not the game that we all remember anymore. Magic is turning into a game in 2018. And what I'm talking about is, it's turning into a game that has less to do about the second market and what you can make on the second market. I think they do have to kind of change their strategy in terms of keeping the store owners happy, but they're less concerned about this whole making sure this second market is intact to a point where it's like been strangleholding the game in the past. And it's turning into more of a game of 2018 with Arena around the corner. They're making strides to turn this into a game that anyone can pick up at, you know, at any point, get into it and enjoy. And I think that there's going to be some growing pains with that. I may not be right in my assessment. And you know, obviously there's going to, they're not abandoning the second market, but I just don't, I don't think it's going to, it's not going to be how we remember. It's not going to be like how it was a few years ago. It was like the Wild West and everything was just spiking every single like week when there was like a new card from Modern or just these new cards in general. Every other week, just spiking randomly. I mean, those days are pretty much over. And the way we played Magic, you know, as we were young teenagers, is over. I mean, you know, it's just turning into a different game. And there's going to be growing pains with that.
That's an interesting perspective. I mean, I think it needs to be a balance. I think there's too much product now. Okay. I think there's. The reason for that is, I think, I mean, it's strictly speaking, people just can't. There's wallet fatigue. Like, that's a real thing. Like, people can only buy so much. And this whole like,
that's why we're not seeing that huge boon for Modern right now. It'll get there, but it's, you're right. There is fatigue.
Yeah. So I think that's going to show. They're going to see that when they look at last year and go, okay, you know. And now I don't know how they're going to respond to that, but I think it's pretty evident that. You can't put out a million products and have them all do well. And I don't think this philosophy of like, let's just slam the market with a million different things and see what sticks and what doesn't. You know what I mean? Like you had like they had a runaway hit with Unstable. Like I don't think they should just print that in the ground just to make more money off it. That's kind of where I'm at. I think this philosophy of like, okay, let's slam the market with so much product. It doesn't even honestly necessarily need to be. I think first and foremost, they need to cut down the print runs. I think that's important. I mean, having standard print to demand is fine, but like there just needs to be more control over the print runs. I think that is overall healthy. I think you get people excited when they know that they're buying something that they can actually hold on to for some meaningful amount of time and have it retain some value. I think that is actually very important. I also think that they probably shouldn't put so many different product lines out. You know what I mean? Like, I think what they need to do is go back to focusing on things like specialty products that are specifically WPN gifts. Like, I think they, you know, along with that, I think they really, as you said, they really need to refocus on, you know, making the stores happy because I don't
going in and playing for tokens is BS.
I get the sense that they've really lost sight of like, you know, that core. Or base of business, which is the LGS. And I think they're like, okay, well, you know, we can just print, throw it in big box, throw it everywhere, whatever, you know, and also I think that what's happening is with so many products, you get the design teams broken up. And I think, every once in a while you have sets that are cool, but then you have a lot of sets that are just like not very good. So I don't know. I just think that there needs to be sort of like a refocus. And I think they need to kind of just tone it down a little bit with the amount of product and, you know, just sheer volume.
Yeah. I'm just seeing it a different way, I guess. I mean, I do hear that. I do think that the main focus should be back on the, you know, making sure that people are actually playing for something, like giving the stores a reason for people to come in, playing for something meaningful, whether it be a token or a promo or what have you. That definitely needs to come back. But in terms of, I just think there's growing pains right now. It's just turning into a game for 2018.
But
and the kind of old way of doing
it. Well, here's my question. What is the benefit? But I'd like to hear why.
I mean, think about
that many product releases.
Right. Well, just think about every game that is out now. I mean, there's always constantly new information about these games. I mean, just look at like. These are the games that they're up against if they want to thrive in this gaming, like this broader gaming community. I mean, you look at PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, you look at, League of Legends, you look at all these things. They're doing things every few, you know, so often to stay relevant. I mean, if these card games don't stay relevant, I mean, look at Hearthstone. There's like a new set, like, I don't even know, like two new sets a year or whatever. I don't even know what they're at now. There's always like a new set coming out. They always need to be relevant because as soon as you fall behind, no one cares anymore.
Right,
I mean, the attention span for
all
people.
That stuff.
You do
stuff
though. That's like part of your. That's part of how you run these now. I mean, if you're not
in League of, in League of Legends, you don't have to pay to buy the new champion. I'm just using that as an example. We don't need to go on a League of Legends tangent.
Right, sure.
I'm just saying you got to drop. If you want Explorer's Vixen, you have to drop $120. If you want the newest set, you're going to have to drop $10 a pack for the new Master set. Then you're going to have to drop for the – there's just – I don't think I hear what you're saying. I understand that keeping up with the attention span is a real thing, and I'm not going to necessarily disagree with that. But this strategy of just like let's just
but
force
there was
people
a,
to pay, you know, all this money. You know, I think the arena way of doing things where they're going to have
we definitely to disagree on arena. That's going to be next cast. We definitely disagree on that one.
It replacing Moto?
I saw your comment. We definitely disagree on that one. We'll talk about that next.
You think
cast.
It's gonna? Do you think it's gonna?
It's over. Them, it's over. It's over.
I don't think
I
so.
Think it's okay, not. But it might not be over. It might not be over like tomorrow, like the very next day. But it's going to be over soon, sooner than later. Like that is gone. Like maybe they keep it around, but that doesn't mean that keeping it around is not the same as it being there.
Okay, we'll see.
That's just my take. But there's a lot of dynamics going on, Tark. I mean, not even like 2 years ago. I mean, when you think back at like Origins, we had like $1,000 standard decks, dude. Like, they're trying it. To me, this is a company that's trying to. There was, I don't know if there was a big majority or a vocal minority. Maybe there's just getting caught up in an echo chamber, but there it was a real thing. Like people were getting priced out of the game. Like they didn't want to spend $1,000 on a standard deck. They don't even want to spend $1,000 on a modern deck. Sure. I mean, so what do you have to do to alleviate that? You got to print a lot of cards, and that's what they've been doing. I mean, yeah, it sucks that there's what is it? Iconic Masters in Walmart, but like, how do you get the product out there then? How do you satiate such a massive demand for like all of these cards that as soon as one of these cards, maybe, you know, yeah, like let's just say, you know, there's some of these cards will
that's
stay repressed.
As that putting Masters in stores satiates demand, it gets people going into stores. Like that's super valuable. Now, honestly, I would say you want to keep the print runs the way they are. That's fine. Just don't put them in big box. Like give it to the stores.
Yeah, okay. You could definitely do that. But that's what I'm trying to say is that they heard the player base say, like, listen, this game is too expensive. Like standard is $1,000, modern is $1,000. Like we can't afford this game. So they turned around and said, well, we got to print a metric ton of cards. Like we got to print like all these reprints and stuff. And that's to me what they've been doing. That wasn't going to get solved overnight. I don't understand why people are suddenly like, what happened to Magic? Like, why are all these cards? Why is my collection not worth anything? Why is my modern deck not worth anything? Because you just talked about this like 2 years ago that you couldn't play modern.
Yeah.
Like it's not going to happen overnight. Like they can't just print one master set every 5 years. Like it's just not going to happen. Because every 5 years, all these cards are just going to go right back. And we saw it. They printed Modern Masters. It wasn't enough. They printed Modern Masters 2015. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. A lot of the cards went right back to the pre, you know, set price. So what are you really – they're in a really bad spot. So I felt like they were doing what they felt they needed to do in order to alleviate all of these problems, and that was printing a ton of product. I mean, that's what else are they going to do?
Well,
I mean, yeah, they could probably consolidate it. I mean, I think they could have consolidated a lot of it, maybe, like getting rid of the dual decks and stuff. Like, okay, whatever, but they just replaced it with something else. So I don't know if it's the amount of product or maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe just Magic needs to go through another growing pain and change again that, you know, people just can't keep up, and maybe Magic Arena helps, you know, bridge that gap.
I mean, I'm more inclined to go there. I actually would love to see it where Magic, paper Magic can be, you know, not as flooded in the marketplace, and Arena satiates more of the demand, or we'll say digital. Right. When whatever forms that is, that would be great. I'd love to see less Magic paper product printed so that there is still a thriving secondary market. And then, you know, Arena. But I don't know. I don't know if the numbers are going to work. I don't know if the revenue is going to make sense.
Yeah.
You know, they can't cannibalize their own core business. Right.
It would make sense now that they are in more of a spot to release their digital product. it would make more sense now that the paper, that what they've been doing with paper kind of pulls back a little bit, because they did not have Magic Arena to fall back on. So that's right. Why they had to like hyper print like all these cards and all these reprints the last couple of years to kind of just get it out there.
Exactly. But, right.
You know, I do think you're right. Like if we were sitting in with these guys and we were having this, a meeting, I would absolutely agree that now that we have Magic Arena to kind of bridge that gap, it makes sense to pull back, maybe 100% sense to pull back on like some of the Magic, the paper numbers, because you have that bridge now and you have some of the demand to kind of, you know, to fill with your digital product. So,
I mean, it's
going to be a crazy 2018. I mean, if Magic Arena is slated to release this year, I think it'll be great. Yeah. I think that's what the game needs, and it's going to be a lot of growing pains until then. But in terms of finance, I mean, there's still going to be opportunities. I mean, obviously, we saw opportunities today. I mean, the new releases, you know, kind of force feed opportunities. I mean, yeah, don't buy Blood Sun, but if you bought Lotus Veil earlier today that we were talking about, you made some money today. So you made a profit today. So there's still opportunities.
Yeah. I guess too. I mean, when I say Dominaria needs to be good, I mean it needs to be a good set. I think 2017, the releases, this kind of goes back to what I'm saying. I just feel like, I don't want to say watered down, but the quality of the sets this past year. I did like Kaladesh, but I don't know if they were great. You know, I don't know if like these sets are going to be looked at as like really great Magic sets.
I mean? Amonkhet and Ixalan. I liked them.
I actually thought Amonkhet was more interesting than
Amonkhet, Aur, and Ixalan. I think is where standard sets need to be. I think literally if you replaced Kaladesh with something like along the lines of Aur and Ixalan, I thought it would have been a really healthy standard.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Before that, I mean, we had like so many crazy things. I mean, they're just their design philosophy got totally, out there and got away from them so fast. They admitted it. They knew it. So, all right. I mean,
all right.
It's a good way to supercharge 2018 going full speed ahead. Super revved up. I'm like my blood is boiling.
this is Chaz's time to kind of get passionate.
The one chip challenge before the cast. That's so funny. All right,
we're not gonna kick off the series again anytime soon. In the first quarter, but we are going to have Angelo back because we have to have an interesting conversation.
Definitely.
Yeah. So he's Atheros in the Discord for all of you guys.
We're definitely gonna have him on soon because that was just crazy. So any picks this week, guys? We have Rivals of Ixalan. I have Jade Light Ranger. I have Dire Fleet Daredevil.
Yeah, that's the Snapcaster, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna have to put me down on that one because I'm on that too. I'm on Azor. I like Azor.
Okay.
And you're on? Are you on? What else are you on? I'm gonna go with the uncommon. I'm gonna go with the blue green lord, the Merfolk Lord.
Okay. And then we had we talked about Collective Company and Collective Brutality.
We actually didn't go through interest. I don't know if you want to do that. Collective Company, Collective Brutality.
I mean, we'll recap it real quick. I mean, it was a long cast, but
it was
really, really quickly. I mean,
it's a bunch of a bunch of reserve lists and like casual cards.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Lotus Veil doubled today, more than doubled. I think Phil was selling, one of the insiders, Phil was selling them for like 35, 40 bucks. Crazy.
Here you go. So my next Juzom level call, I'm going to put Mirror Universe at $500. That's where that one's going to end up.
That's crazy.
I'm not going to say it's going to happen tomorrow. You guys don't like next week go, oh, it didn't go anywhere. But Mirror Universe should not be $230. That's another iconic one that should not be $235. That's gonna be $500.
The UG Uncommon Lord, from Rivals, Guillaume.
Yes. Foil and non-foil, Guillaume, for the blue G green lord. I like both of them. I think that might be a deck at some point in Rivals Standard, the Merfolk deck.
Yeah. I think that's it for me this week. I mean, I'm not I'll probably have more. I'll probably want to just look, get back and like kind of look at things for next
week. We talked about this last year a while ago, but Copy Artifact Revised is only $16. That's another one. That's another one that's probably a $25 card, but I called that already.
No, we can say it again. We're fresh new year.
Yeah. So I'm continuing to ride the Copy Artifact chain. You could get those. Those are going to be $25.
Oh, look, a Collected Brutality was even on the interest today.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. I like that.
Where is it? Is it on last week?
It's
on the week?
No, it's today, January 3rd. For yesterday, sorry. It's where down. It's marked. It's marked under market. It's kind of down there, but it's kind of in the middle. But it was on there. What do you know?
Interesting. Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Academy Rector is still doing its thing.
Yeah, it's
nice. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Okay. What do you see? You're saying $20, Chaz, right?
I think like $25.
Okay.
Yeah. That card should probably be like 20. That's probably going to end up in like the $25 range for sure. All right. Yeah. Strong, good cast. We got nice and crazy. We'll do this again next week, Tark.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys. Where can they find you?
Oh, yeah. I'm at @the_Tark on Twitter. I'm also over at the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. I'm an admin over there. You can chat with me sometime there. And, of course, I'm always in the Discord and work with QS.
Yep. Just find me on the QS Insider Discord, and you can find my articles. And, yeah, just DM me on Discord. I'm trying to – 2018, I'm probably not going to be as active on
Twitter.
Yeah, moving away from just social media. I mean, short of QS and you know, I got more kind of workload at the, you know, for my job. So probably just going to not want to be distracted.
I got you.
Yeah. So just find me. Honestly, the QS Insider Discord is where I am anyway. So if anyone needs to find me, just get through me through here. All right, folks. That is going to do it. Take care, everyone. We will see you next time. This is the QS Cast signing out.
See ya. Later.